Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 18. Comfort one another with these words. And then chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to your word tonight to learn of your command that we are to comfort one another. So we pray that you would open our eyes to the reality of what you want us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was 4 years old, and I lived in an apartment complex. And this apartment complex was next to the hospital. And there was a fence separating the two. Well, one day I was out playing with some other kids at the age of four, and we were peering into different windows in the apartment complex, and this window happened to be in a window well, happened to be the laundry room, but it was in a window well, and I fell and hit my head and started to bleed. Now, I don't remember how I got home, but I got home, and I remember my mom laying me out on the dining room table, kitchen table. I was just laying flat on the table. And she was on the phone with her mother or her aunt, who happened to be in Baltimore, 30 minutes away. They couldn't do anything, but she's a little hysterical. I'm her firstborn child, you know. And I'm broken. I'm bleeding. It's a head wound. They tend to gush and bleed. And I'm just laying there. I don't remember being in pain. I don't remember being frantic. I don't remember crying. I'm just laying there as my mom's on the phone. You have to understand, there's something I wanted to do as a four-year-old. I wanted to climb that fence and go to the hospital. I wanted to climb over that fence. It was a big fence. So as we are laying there, and I am laying there and I'm bleeding, my mom's on the phone with her aunt. I probably was her aunt, and I heard something being said, you need to take them to the hospital. And I said, hospital? Can we climb the fence? And my mom said, no, we're not climbing no fence. So that's how that went. But as I told this story, because I knew it was coming back up, and I kind of rehearsed it at Thanksgiving, my sister said, four. I looked at my mom, where were you? She said, probably in the house somewhere. She goes, four. He's out running around at four. You don't think of that today. You know, this is 1974. And so there I was, bleeding. I remember I got two stitches, my first two stitches. But mothers give comfort. And probably no other human can give you such comfort as your mother. I had no worries because mom was there and I'm ready to climb the fence with her. Even Jesus used the illustration of mothers giving protection and comfort when he said in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. When crises come our way, we want comfort. We need comfort. But where do we get such comfort? Well, ultimately, we're going to get our comfort from God. That's our vertical relationship. But in our horizontal relationships, where do we get this comfort? We get it from one another. Now, the Greek word that is often translated comfort is parakaleo. It means to invite or invoke by imploration or consolation, to strengthen by consolation. There you go. To strengthen by consolation. The definition of the English word comfort is to bring somebody relief from distress or anxiety. To bring somebody relief from stress or anxiety. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul is addressing the Thessalonian church. They were stressed. They had anxiousness. They believed and they were expecting the return of Christ. But it hadn't happened yet, and their fellow loved ones were dying, and they were kind of stressed out. These people miss the second coming of Christ. They miss the rapture. Oh no. However, Paul writes to inform them. And verse 13 in chapter 4 starts where we kind of get this summary. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." It is interesting when you read these words and we study them and we find out, okay, so when the Lord comes back in the rapture and the dead in Christ will rise first and then we which are alive will remain. And people get kind of anxious with those things. People get kind of mystified by those things. And these verses are read at funerals or especially at the graveside. But the thing that I think people forget about these words, that these words are to be words of comfort. Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Now, specifically, Paul was referring to these verses, but indirectly, he's referring to all of Scripture, is to bring us comfort. It's the word of God that brings us comfort. And after Paul corrects their faulty understanding, he tells the believers to comfort the other believers with the very words that he had just told them. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. It's a similar situation. The church hasn't changed much from chapter 4 to chapter 5. Okay, he's writing to the same church, same issues, same problems. But because the coming of the Lord hasn't come yet, believers weren't to give up. They weren't to give up. They were to be reminded that he is coming. And we are to be reminded he is coming. They were to be vigilant for his coming. And they were to comfort or encourage one another with their words. In fact, in John chapter 14, and then again in John chapter 16, Jesus is talking at this time. He's in the upper room. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking about his time that is coming, that he's going to be gone. But he says, the comforter will come. The comforter, the parakaleo, the one who's going to come alongside you. You know, in heaven, we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to talk to the great heroes of the faith that we think of, that's in the Bible, and we're going to talk to them, and we're going to talk to David, and we're going to, what was it like, you know, slaying Goliath? Or what was it like Elijah calling down fire? What was it like Elisha? And we're going to be amazed at them, but they're going to turn around and look at you and say, what was it like having the Holy Spirit living within you? Something they have no concept about. What was it like having the Comforter right there in your trials? Because Elijah's going to, remember I had that little experience over there in the cave? I wanted to go kill myself. What was it like? So God has given us in our salvation the Comforter who strengthens us, who internally works. But on the external, on the outside, he's given us you. He's given us each other to come along and buck one up. There's a specific guy in the book of Acts known as Barnabas, the son of encouragement. That's not his real name, that's his nickname. He would come around and buck people up, remind them of what they've learned, remind them of what they were taught. Now, they didn't have a Bible. And maybe part of the problem is we can't comfort other people with the Word of God is because we don't know the Word of God. We've not been in it enough. You think, well, I know there's a verse in there somewhere. And maybe you'll try to Google it. And maybe you'll get something back. You'll get 10,000 things back. But is it the right thing? Or you'll say, oh, or sometimes out of desperation, I'll get the phone call. Now, Pastor, where was this verse? I know it's in there somewhere. And then I have to go in my thinking and think, well, let me. Then I have to go to Google and find it. And so I can get back to you. To get the specific one. But maybe that's what you need to do is you have your morning devotions and you pray. And the Lord is teaching you, and you might say, now, Lord, who can I share this with today to be an encouragement? Who needs to hear this verse today? Romans 15:4 says, Paul admonishes believers to comfort each other with the scriptures so that they might have hope. That they might have hope. It's not a hope so hope. Biblical hope is not a hope so hope. It's a confident expectation. So repeatedly where the word comfort is used, it gives the idea that a stressful, anxious situation is occurring. And each believer is to help other believers in these situations and bring them comfort. Look, something happened in the 1500s. It was called the Reformation. But there are some things that are left behind from before the Reformation that is detriment to church life. Somehow, some way, people think it has to be the pastor. Now, I'm not shirking my duties. Don't hear me say that. But you've got a Bible. When someone's sick, someone's in the hospital, you can visit them. You can share the word with them. There's nothing special in me in doing that. There's no clergy-laity split, which was pre-Reformation. You know, I'm not a Catholic priest who says that I can absolve your sins. I can't absolve anyone's, and I can't absolve my own. Only the blood of Christ can do that. But we each have the word. We each can go. We each can share. And give hope. But how do we comfort? How do we do it? Because comfort is more than saying, they're there. I never understand that phrase. They're there. But, you know, it's like it's two words that really two nonsense words, and that's supposed to bring hope and comfort. I don't get it. They're there. But comfort, that's not what I'm talking about. What brings comfort is not necessarily the presence of the other believer. Sometimes that does bring comfort. Just sitting there in silence with someone can bring comfort. But what brings the comfort is the Word of God. Now, in each situation, the comfort comes from the Word of God and comes from a different part of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, 14:3, excuse me, Paul writes, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." We must remember that prophesying has two respects. One aspect was telling about something that would happen in the future. That's foretelling. The other aspect, which is also included in the first aspect, is proclaiming what God has said. In fact, if you look at the Word of God, if you study it intently, you're going to learn a few things. You think miracles are rare today. They are. Miracles are rare in the Bible. There's only three times in the whole course of history in the Bible that miracles take place. The first time is with Moses and Joshua. The second time is with Elijah and Elisha. And the third time is with Jesus and the apostles. And each time, new revelation has come out that has to be confirmed. And that's what the miracles take place. They're not even that common in the Bible, for one. Most of the time in the Old Testament, around the time after in the kingdoms, the prophets come around, they're not usually giving new stuff. Most of the stuff that they give is, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And they're going back to what the Lord had already said, primarily what he said in the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Because they were bringing Israel back to the Word of God because Israel had gotten away from the Word of God. But there are a few times that they do say a few new things, which are usually in reference to the Messiah. I can't get ahead of next week's sermon, but that's what they're doing. And so those are the bring comfort. So when you and I go give comfort, we just have to say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And give them the Bible. And give them what God said about their situation. Now, the Bible is not organized like an encyclopedia. You cannot look up A for anxiety and find all the verses. Actually, there are books out there that will let you do that. You can Google that too. Bible verses for anxiety. It will give them to you. I'm not sure there's Bible verses that say Bible verses for weight loss. But there are Bible verses that do deal with that. Not that says thou shalt not eat less, nothing like that. But something about, you know, thou shalt be good stewards, thou shalt, you know, take care of your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. There are things and concepts, and that's what you have to learn. You've got to learn the concepts that address this particular need as you give help. There's no verses about what kind of car you should buy. No. There isn't a verse, you know, if you really think that you need to go out and buy an Accord because all the apostles were in one Accord, that's a misinterpretation of Scripture, okay? If you go to school, kids, and throw a piece of bread, you say, it's a Bible verse. Yes, there is a verse that says, behold, I saw a flying roll. But that's not a justification for a food fight. All right? So let's not pick up on scriptures and misinterpret them. But dig in and find out, okay, maybe this verse doesn't tell me about my TV viewing habits or what I'm listening to on the radio, but this verse is telling me that I should be more responsible with my time. And maybe there's something there it's taking away from my time. But then there is a verse that says, whatsoever things are pure and honest and of good report. Okay, that means I need to evaluate these things, think on these things. So I need to think about the things I'm thinking on. What am I putting in front of my mind? And so we share these types of verses to bring comfort. Paul says that he who preaches the word of God speaks edification, right? To edify one another, build up. Speaks exhortation, to exhort one another. That's next week, I think. and to comfort one another. It's the word of God that brings comfort. Our soothing voice and our calm spirits and our understanding hearts, they tend to lend assistance to bring comfort, but they're not what gives comfort. Now, in some very stressful situations, such as an unexpected death of a loved one, or losing a job, or the critical care of a loved one, or some other crisis that we venture into, we are to bring comfort. But what do we bring? What kind of comfort do we bring? What's better than they're there? Well, sometimes at the point of crisis, just knowing that you're there, you love them, you hug them. But after some time has maybe subsided and they're ready to hear, and like, maybe you need to remind them. Because maybe you need to remind yourself, God is good. God is good. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. God is good. How about God's grace is and will be sufficient? God's grace is and will be sufficient. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I think some people forget who God said that to. He said that to Paul. Now, God doesn't have favorites. But if you were to pick someone out who might be a favorite, don't you think Paul would be him? And God is allowing him to go through a trial, so why would God not let you go through a trial? And what's God's response to that trial? That his grace is sufficient. Lean on me. I'll be your strength. We also need to remind people that not only God is good and God's grace is and will be sufficient, but God is near. Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The Lord is near. But it doesn't feel like he's near. Well, then you have to remind yourself that he is. And remind yourself of Hebrews 13:5, that God has not left you nor forsaken you. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, the verse says. Because sometimes we've got to get our mind in gear to finally feel what we're supposed to feel. If God indwells you, and by his indwelling you're saved, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So therefore, he's going to be near. Makes sense to me. How about God does have a purpose? You know where I'm going with this one. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called to according to his purpose. Have you ever really read that verse? And all things work together for good. See, I think we want to put an extra word in there. That's not there. It doesn't say all things work together for our good. It says all things work together for good. Who's good? His good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And you get down to verse 29, it being conformed into his image. That's the purpose, to make us more Christ-like. So we have to remember that God has a purpose. That nothing is just happened random at chance. You know, God is holding on to the world. It's still in his hands. Things aren't flying off the earth left and right like a tornado going through a grocery store or something like that. Things are still in control. God has a purpose. His eyes on the ball. We need to remind people that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. And God's love is unconditional. That means God cannot love you more than he already does, and he can't love you less than he already does. It's perfect love. It's not moving. You can mess up in your way and you're thinking all that you want, but it's not going to change God's love for you. The fellowship may be broken and you need to confess sin and get right with God, but it doesn't change that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. What great comfort that should be. Because let me tell you, the opposite would be very discomforting. God doesn't love you. You're his enemy. You're the object of his wrath. Whoa, wait. That's not very comforting, my friend. No, it's not. But God loves you, should be comforting, is comforting. Not only does he love you, he cares for you. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This word care is used in 1 Peter 5:7. It's only used one other time. Sorry. The first part of the verse, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The casting part is only used one other time in the New Testament. It's used when they throw the robes onto the colt that Jesus is riding in the triumphal entry. That the colt is the beast of burden who carries the weight of the robe. And the idea is same here, that you cast your cares on him for him to be the beast of burden, if you will, to completely carry your cares. And he does that because he cares for you. Now, these answers that God is good, God's grace is and will be sufficient, God is near, God has not left you or forsaken you, God does have a purpose, God loves you, and God cares for you. Now, these might sound pat, but it is the simple truths that we need to be reminded of. We need to be reminded of these before we go through a crisis. They're used to strengthen us, and we should use the actual verses. So when you tell someone that God loves them, don't just say, God loves you. Say, God loves you. Remember John 3:16, and quote the verse. God cares for you. Remember? 1 Peter 5:7. God's grace is sufficient to you. 1 Corinthians 12:9. And give them the verse. First Thessalonians 5:14. Verse 11 said we were to comfort, but verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. The verse says comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. The idea there is not that they're dumb, but the crisis has overwhelmed them, that they're not thinking straight, that they're feeble-minded in that moment, and they need to be bucked up. There's people here who do construction work. If something's sagging, what do? You buck it up, right? You're like, oh no, we just get rid of things. We just sit there and look and hope that it never falls down. You add braces, you add support. And when we come to comfort one another, we come in to add the braces, to add the support for them to carry this load. And it's not us. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings comfort. And we are to be the one that brings the Word of God to other believers. But in order for us to do that, we need to know the Word of God. We need to know where to turn to for comfort and strength. But even if we don't know a specific scripture to use in a particular time, many times the scriptures that we currently have in our mind bring comfort. There are times that I've gone to the hospital, and often I will start off a visit, usually in Psalm 103, that God heals all thy diseases. But there's other times like, okay, I've already just saw that person, and last time I used that verse. What verse do I use now? Now, I could go to Google and say, okay, give me a hospital verse. But often I just sit and think, now what did I just study this morning in my devotions? And what can I share? And share and bring comfort that way. So that we have the Word of God on our lips, that we might bring comfort and hope to them. Now you might, give them a verse like, well, I was reading this morning about the 4x Parbar. Is that going to give you any comfort? Here's some comfort for you. 4x Parbar. So you're looking at me like, huh? Go look it up. There's a verse about that. No, that's not going to help. But most often there is a verse that you can think of to share to people. So let us comfort one another. We're commanded to do that. But the comfort that we are commanded to give is to bring the Word of God to bear. To bring the Word of God to them, to buck them up with it. Comfort one another. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the command, the comfort. There's no comforter greater than you, and you have given us the greatest comfort in the Holy Spirit, who indwells us who know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we pray that you would help us to share the comfort he gives us to others, for that's what you're asking. So help us, Lord, to comfort one another, we pray and ask. We ask for your blessing as we leave this place tonight. Give us opportunities this week to comfort. And Father, strengthen us in our walk with you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.